lighthouse. It's like Tim is our.
It's all our lighthouse, not just his. All of our lighthouse. Jesus is our lighthouse. Welcome to Harbor of Joy this morning. Good to see everybody here. The snowbirds are all back, I think. CJ is here with us for the first time. Good to have you back, CJ. You'll probably notice a little bit more bass, but then Charlie's done a good job of playing the bass in his absence as well. Glad that you're here today. In your bulletin, you probably received this flyer that's in there to let you know that Mother's Day is next Sunday. Guys, what are you planning on doing? Kids, what are you planning on doing for Mom? Well, we're going to have a special group here next Sunday, Stones Cry. That's a family that will be doing all the music. They're going to have kind of the whole service. It's going to be something a little bit different than what we're used to. And I don't have to preach. That means I got more time to go out and visit people this week. So, looking forward to the Finisgard family that's going to be here. We've known them for many, many years. I think I knew Joel, who is the dad now of this family. I knew him at a youth retreat in Botno, North Dakota. He was one of the kids back then. So it goes to show how long it's been. Even though I haven't changed much from that time. Hair's got a little grayer, that's about it. But they're going to be here next Sunday, so be prepared for something a little different next Sunday for Mother's Day. Hope we'll have some flowers out there to greet you as you come in next Sunday as well. It'll be a little bit more festive for Mother's Day as well. In your bulletin as well, just it's been brought to my attention that in the prayer request there, Tammy Ebel is in a nursing home, I believe, in Estherville. No, she's not.
Spirit Lake.
Oh, Akira. Hilltop. Okay. So I just want you to know a little change. She's not in Sioux Falls, but she is here at Spirit Lake in one of the homes here at the Akira one. That's good. That's good news for, I think, for everybody as well. And just keep in mind that if you're new here and if you're a lady that would like to be a part of a Bible study, they meet on Tuesday mornings at 9:30 here at the church. They're about done with this Bible study, but you can still come and be a part of it. It meets at 9:30, like I said, on Tuesday, and then it's followed by a prayer group in the library at 11 o'clock. And then Tuesday night, there is a council meeting as well, I believe. No, it can't be. This Tuesday, it's got to be the following Tuesday. It's the second Tuesday of the month. We have our church council meeting. Yep, it says here the 10th, May 10th. Got a little ahead of myself there. We're grateful for the new members that have joined Harbor of Joy, John and Jackie Arthur. And we'll be having a little service here on the new council members. Those of you that have been joined or on the council, new council coming up, just stay where you are. You're not going to have to come up. You're not going to have to say anything. I'm just going to have you stand where you are so that people know who you are and have a word of prayer for you when that time comes. And so had some bad news as well. I mean, Pastor Tim Knoppe, the pastor previous to me, his mother passed away. And they have visitation today from 5 to 7 at the Schroeder Funeral Home in Kensett, Iowa. I have no idea where Kensett is.
By Mason City.
It's where?
By Mason City.
Oh, by Mason. So it's way east.
Yeah,
couple.
East is that way. That way.
Well, it's better because that's north. That's north. That's south. It's that way. That's east. That's right. You keep going east and you'll find yourself in New York City sometime. But the funeral is at Bethany Lutheran Church at 1:30 tomorrow. For any of you that are interested, I do have the address. Call Charlie if you need the address, if you'd like to send a card or something like that. That would be much appreciative. And then also this morning, Patty Griffiths said that her brother died yesterday. And so that's another thing that's taking place. She's going to be going to Tanzania, so I mean she's not really sure what's taking place at this point. He's from Chicago area, and so that's just kind of things that have taken place. So just Patty, you know where you are. Well, there you are. You know, you have our hearts and our prayers going for you in the valley today and the days ahead as well. So let me see, anything else coming up this week? Oh, Saturday, we got the men's breakfast, first Saturday of the month. I heard the ladies had 21.
23.
You didn't have 23. You had 23 that signed up.
We had, no, 20, no, we had 25 came. Signed up, 23 came.
You're kidding me. Guys, bring people. Bring other guys. Bring your grandsons, whatever it is. Bring them. We got to try to beat these ladies here if that's possible. So that's all the announcements that I'm going to give here today. Glad that you have come. And let's pray before I turn it over to the praise man. Shall we? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning for all that you have done. Lord, we know that there are heavy hearts in our midst through death, through just health issues that are taking place. Lord, we think of Tammy, Neville, we think of Dave Convey, who's going to find a place where he needs to have kidney dialysis at least 3 times a week. We just pray to be with Jan and Dave in a very special way today, as well as Vicki and Dwayne Anderson, too. Things have changed a lot for Dwayne in the last couple of weeks. And we just pray that your presence will be with them as he's at home and under hospice care, and be with us family during this time. Bless them, Lord, and pray. And Lord, we thank you for everyone that is here this morning. Thank you for CJ making it back here. We thank you for all the other snowbirds that have come back to join us. We thank you for the moisture and the rain. We thank you, Lord, for the farmers as they plant and as they seed the ground. And we just pray, Lord, now, of all things, nothing hot, but just warmer weather. Warmer weather that will just make the seeds germinate and sprout. That will just be a comfort to the farmers to see their black fields turn green. So today, Lord, we acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we are glad that he's here with us. Speak to our hearts today, Lord, through all that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's go.
kind of want more to happen. We're just good. But Bob will talk about that.
He can talk about it.
But it doesn't do any good to talk
about big block.
Let us look at a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Today is Communion Sunday, and once the praise band is released, and they are going to be sitting down after their last song, we'll then have Patty Griffiths and Trey Robinson come up here. And look, I'll tell you when though, just when these guys go down, you come on up, and we'll have a little commissioning service for you as you're heading over to Tanzania, Africa, this coming Saturday is when it all starts, I believe. In the meantime, let's turn our hearts to the Lord when he gave his body and blood to his disciples. And we are to celebrate, be mindful of what he has done for us until he comes again. So in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let us take some time in silence where you can have your own confession before the Lord this morning, whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your heart and your mind today. And you ask the Lord to forgive you or to just praise him for what he has done for you as well. Let's just take some time to do that in silence. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us. Renew us and lead us so that we may delight in our realm and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us so that we may have forgiveness for our sins.
Thank you.
Michelle. Thank you so much for what you do. For us each and every Sunday, ask Patty Griffiths to come and I'll trade. Well, there's Patty. I keep looking for you back for my check. Okay, you can stand this way because I want people to see you, but you can hang on to this because I know you got a bad hip. Okay, you can handle that if you need me, okay? Patty, your sympathies go with you as you, I'm sure it's a, what do you do? You know, but you're heading to Tanzania, Africa. You know, Patty is a really interesting person. In a lot of ways. But you know, she started the Next Life Foundation in Tanzania, Africa. And I mean, I don't know the real story behind it, but well, many of you here do. But she's been going over to Tanzania, Africa, so at least once a year. This year will be twice. Well, you're taking Trey with you. And Trey has been wanting to go to Africa for how many years?
Six, 7 years.
He was with our Joy Kids on Wednesday night, and he's always told Patty, I want to go to Africa someday. Can you believe me? You're going?
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't think of a better person to go with than with Patty. Because you know you're in good hands. You don't have to say anything, Trey. You just follow her. And she'll tell you what to do next. And you know, you might be preaching over there. You never know what you're going to run into in Africa. But I do want to just share with you as we are going to be praying for you. And I know you said you've got something set up on your computer, the website, that you're going to have some prayer requests or some pictures, the things that happen every day over there. So you can actually see Trey alive over there, as well as Patty, and hear what's going on, what some of the things that they've been doing from day to day, if you would like to do that on your computer. I know that we as a church support you wholeheartedly, and we just want to commission you, I want to just pray for you, but I want to share a couple of verses here in Matthew, which is called the Great Commission. This is what Jesus said in the last, very end of Matthew. Where's Matthew at? Is Matthew in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Okay, we'll get there. It's the very first book of the New Testament. And it says this. Jesus says this to us. All authority is given on earth, in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Have you ever flown before?
Yes.
Have you flown that far, like over the Atlantic Ocean?
No.
Sleep, my son. Sleep. Because there's a lot of water. I just want to pray for you, and we look forward to what God's going to do in both your lives. And if you want to just raise your hands and point them towards Patty and Trey this morning, you can sure do that as I pray for them. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to have someone in our midst like Patty and like Trey willing to go. And we pray for their travels. We pray for the people that they will come into contact with. It's going to be a whole new experience, Lord, for Trey, but we know that you're going to use this in his life in some way, and it'll be a very powerful way that something he'll never, ever forget. And so, whatever you have in store for him, and may you use Patty as his mentor, and as she guides and fills him in on a lot of different things about people, and as he witnesses the things that they're doing over there, may he come back. May they both come back and share with us the things that you have shown them and how you have worked in their time that they have been over there in the lives of the people, but as well as in their own hearts and in their own lives as well. So Lord, we with joy, we send them and pray for them and pray that they will be ministered to in ways that they could never, ever be ministered here in Harbor of Joy or in Iowa, but that you're going to do something great and marvelous and powerful in their lives. And so we just pray for their protection, their travel mercies. We pray that they do not lose their passports. We pray that all these little details that they find along the way, that you have gone ahead of them and you've prepared the way for them. And so may you bless them, and may they know that you are there with them in all that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You go in God's peace. We do have some new council members. I just want you to stand just so people can know who you are. But Julie Hanson over here, you can stand the longest. And then we have Steve Moore. We have Jim Craninger. Did I say it right? Randy Craninger. And who else is there? Christy back there. She is our treasurer assistant type of a thing. So we want to just pray for you, but before we pray for them, I just want to ask the congregation something. And you respond back with, "I do." Okay? You know, these are people that you have elected to be leaders in Harbor of Joy. And so therefore, are you willing to pray for them and to support them and to encourage them along the way as being the elected people as they have been? If so, say I do.
I do.
You got good people behind you here. Let's just pray for them. But I want to read, just want to read a portion of scripture from Ephesians. Ephesians. I should have it marked here. I do have it marked here.
It's in the New Testament.
It is, yep, I know it's the New Testament. Here is a reason why we have church leaders. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And we go down to verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every kind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those that have served you in the past. We think of Angie Lickhart and think of Scott Berry. Thank you for their faithful service over the years. And it's kind of like the passing of the baton now to some new blood, some new people that will be a part of the church council that have never served before in this capacity. And so, Lord, we are grateful for each and every one of them. And pray that as you will continue to guide and direct Harbor of Joy in the days ahead, and to use these people as they come and join others in on the council in a way that will be uplifting, a way that will be creative and some new ideas that we can do as a church, but as we serve Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. The main thing, Lord, for anyone to be on the church council is that they have a growing, loving relationship with you, Lord, with Jesus Christ. And it's not always the easiest job. There's a lot of decisions that are made. But we know that we're in good hands because we always look to you, Lord, and got your guidance and your help. And so we thank you for not only these people that are coming on board, but also for those who do serve on the church council as well. Your blessing be upon each one. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated now again. And so what happens next? Oh, you get to hear a message. You can't wait for that, huh? Yes, I know it's Communion Sunday. It means it's more time. I'll try to be as brief as I can and let you know that I'm just going to continue on where we left off last week, because we didn't finish the whole story, the whole account that we find in the fifth chapter of Acts. And so we're going to start. I'm going to invite you to stand as we just read God's Word. And I'll kind of quickly go over a message here today, what we can glean from it, and what it says to us today. Acts chapter 5, begin with verse 34 through 42. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel. That's how you say it, Gamaliel. Say that.
Gamaliel.
Very good. Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. It's like about his other brothers, who are also Pharisees, who make up part of the Sanhedrin. They went to a place outside of where they met, and he addresses them. And he says this to them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words that we have before us today. Bring them to life as only you can. Speak to our hearts in and through these words. Help me as I preach them and do this in as gentle and as fast as a fashion that I can, or as you allow me here this morning. But may we leave today saying, you know, it was a good message today. I needed to hear this in my own heart and my own life. So we leave differently than the way that we came in this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For some of you that were not here last Sunday, just to give you a little recap, this is what the sermon was about last week. The apostles, this is after Jesus rose again from the dead, and their message was, wherever they went, it was talking about the resurrection, that they had seen Jesus, that he definitely had rose again from the dead, he had conquered sin, Satan, and death, and they went to the temple courts, they were teaching the people these things. Well, not everybody liked that. They didn't want them to be teaching something new. Now, they've never heard this before. And so we find that it's not the Pharisees, who have always been the pain in the neck for Jesus and his ministry, that are really upset. We find it's the other group of religious leaders known as the Sadducees. And these are the more upper class, the wealthier, the more elites of the religious groups of people that are in Jerusalem, and they're also religious leaders. But they kind of carry a lot of clout, and they're really the real leaders that kind of orchestrate what they want to do, because they're the ones that were behind putting Jesus to death, crucifying him on the cross. So the Sadducees, are the ones that do not like to hear what the apostles are teaching in the temple courts. They're talking about the resurrection. Now, the problem is, this is where it gets a little dicey here with the Sadducees. You see, the Sadducees did not believe in a resurrection. They believed that was an impossibility for anything like that ever to happen. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in spirits. They did not believe in a Holy Spirit. And so when they hear the apostles in the temple courts talking about these things and teaching these things, they just had to put a stop to that right away. So they had these, they had Peter and the apostles all arrested. They had them put in jail because they had told them previous to this not to mention the name of Jesus to the people. They could do whatever they want to do, but they could not talk about the resurrection. They could not talk about the name Jesus in public, ever. And because they were talking about Jesus, they were talking about the resurrection, the Sadducees then sent the temple guards to go get them and to put them in jail. And that's what they did. Now an angel came and let the apostles out. And the angel said, you go back to what you're doing and keep preaching it. Keep preaching it, brothers. And go back to the temple courts and continue doing what you're doing. And so they did that. They got up early in the morning. The doors were open. They went back to the temple courts. And they started preaching and telling the people about the resurrection and talking about the name of Jesus Christ and things like that. And then, in the meantime, the Sadducees had called the Sanhedrin, which is like our Supreme Court, made up of two groups of people. It is not Republicans or Democrats. It is about Sadducees and Pharisees. They came together. They were going to have a meeting that morning. And so they sent the temple guards to go and get the jailed Peter and the rest of the apostles to come before them because they wanted to just put a halt to what they were doing. So when they went to the jail, what did they find? They weren't there. It was empty. Kind of like the tomb. The ladies went to the tomb early on Easter morning, found it was empty. The stone was rolled away. Here the doors are open, or they had been locked. They've been guarded with guards. But they're not in there. And so they go back and report to the leaders of saying, hey, they're not there. And they're going, well, how could that be? We put them in jail, right? Yeah, we did. We made sure that they were in the inner part of the jail that, you know, not anyone could just walk out of there. It's a miracle if they're out, or it's a miracle that they got out in the meantime. But it was a miracle. And so somebody during this time, as they're telling the Sadducees, it's Caiaphas is a high priest at that time, they tell him that they're gone, they're not in the jail. And someone else comes in and gives a report, hey, these guys you're looking for, they're in the temple courts and they're preaching like they've always done. And so then Caiaphas and the rest of his cronies said, okay, captain, get your guys together, go and arrest these guys, bring them to us. And they feared the people. And so when they went to get Peter and the other apostles, they came without any incident. They just came and said, okay, what's the deal? And that leads us up to where we're at here today. We know for sure that the Sadducees were full of jealousy over these guys, and their jealousy over Jesus. And we find in verse 33, the verse right before where I started here today, it says that these people were furious and they wanted to put all these guys to death. They wanted to do to Peter and all the apostles, all of Jesus' disciples, the same thing to them as what they did to Jesus. And that's kind of how the early church began, through this kind of a thing. And so this is where we learn about a man by the name of Gamaliel. He's a Pharisee, part of the Sanhedrin. Now it is believed that he is a Christian, but he's a secret Christian among the Sanhedrin, just like we find Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, who were also believers in Jesus. We don't know exactly the time that they became believers, but we know that Joseph of Arimathea is one who went to Pilate and said, can I take the body of Jesus down before sundown on this Jewish Sabbath? Pilate gave the go-ahead, Nicodemus came later on with even some ointments to put on the body of Jesus. So we know that Jesus was definitely dead when he took him off the cross. Even the centurion, the Roman centurion, said he was already dead. So he did not break a bone on his body. But he did break the bones of the thieves on each side of Jesus to make death come more quicker to them. So we got this guy who is Gamaliel, and he's a highly respected man in the Sanhedrin. He'd be kind of like the speaker of the house that we'd have today. And he's a rabbi. He'd be known as a rabbi. And one of his students, one of Gamaliel's students, was Saul of Tarsus. So there's a connection. You'll find that in Acts 22, verse 3, where Paul, well, we call him Paul, but he was Saul before he was Paul. He was a student under this man. So he is very much one that others who wanted to learn more about the Jewish faith would want to be under his teaching as a rabbi. And so when Gamaliel spoke, he's like E.F. Hutton. Everybody listened. And he reminds, you know, he pulls out his Pharisee group, the group of Pharisees out of the Sanhedrin. They go to a different place, and this is where he addresses them. And he tells his group of Pharisees, because he himself is one, a Pharisee as well, and he reminds them of two incidences of what had happened in history that all of them know about, of these two guys who rose up to come against the Roman government. And, you know, the man by the name of Thutis, and also Judas the Galilean, and that each one of those guys, they were killed. And then their whole movement just dissolved. They just, nothing ever happened of what they did. So Gamaliel is saying, hey, I just want to remind you about these two groups that you all know about, what they've tried to do before, and nothing came of it. So be careful on what you decide today, what to do with these men, Peter and the apostles. Be careful. Because if they're doing something that is originated by human beings or by human touch, this is their teaching, if it's human teaching, then it will fail all by itself. But if it is God behind it, and they're serving the Lord, you're not going to be able to stop them. And so it's just like, just be tolerant. Have some tolerance here and just see what's going to happen. And we'll find out as time goes on what we're dealing with here with these guys. And so Gamaliel pretty much persuaded the Pharisees. We don't have a vote that took place, but it sounded like everybody was in agreement with what he said. And we find that he's a very wise man. He's very tactful. And if he would not have done this at this time in history, they're probably, I mean, I don't know what would have happened with the Christian church. But here is something very significant that this guy does. And he's kind of a name that is hard to pronounce, but he plays a very big part in the spreading of the gospel. Because from here on out, the gospel goes out like a prairie fire, like a grass fire. And so he rejoins the Sadducees, they bring them all together, and it's not a unanimous vote, it's kind of like more of a compromise of what takes place there in the Sanhedrin. They know that they have to do something to Peter and the apostles because they had warned them previously not to say the name of Jesus or to teach the resurrection at any time, anywhere, any place. And they were doing that. So they had to do something. And so they did flog him. Now flogging is not like the Roman flogging when you think of that. The Jewish way of flogging, or using of rods, as some, it says in some translations, it'd be that they would give each of the disciples just two swats with the whip. And And it was called a scorpion. And that's if the whip had some brass metal in it, that if it didn't hit the person, I mean, it would sting like a scorpion's bite. Anybody been bit by a scorpion? Good. But it's much more than a mosquito bite, that's for sure. And so they flogged them, and then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, that they've already done that before. And then they let the apostles go. And so so they did a little bit of what the Sanhedrin wanted to do, because Gamaliel knew that these guys were very upset, and they wanted to kill these guys. But he came in and said, no, let's let them go. So they punished them, and then they let them go. And it says what they did after they were let go. It's that they left rejoicing. They were glad that they were able to suffer a little bit like their Lord had done for them. And they went on preaching and teaching in the temple courts. They went house to house talking about the gospel, which is the good news. And they went on telling others that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior, like he said and claimed to be. And they were witnesses of him. They know this from personal experience. They know they spent time with Jesus. They were with him. They saw him after the resurrection. They ate with him. They heard what he had to say and what he taught. And it was just a wonderful boost in the Christian faith. And it really leaps. It takes off from here. But if you did not have Gamaliel, it might not have happened that way. So Peter and the apostles, they served Jesus, they believed in Jesus, and they witnessed who Jesus was because they heard him and spent time with him. So what does that do about us today? Any of this have any reference for us? Yes, it does. Let me say this. Joy Kids. Joy Kids. There's some of you in Harbor of Joy who are involved with Joy Kids. And there's some of you that aren't. It's okay. But let those who want to be involved with Joy Kids be involved with Joy Kids. And then the rest that decide not to be involved with Joy Kids, pray for those who do and are willing to do that. And to be a part of that whole thing, rather than causing some butting heads. Because I want you to think of one thing here today. We've got Trey, one of the Joy Kids, that not only wants to go to Africa, but is going to go to Africa, to Tanzania. Now, do you think that would have happened if we did not have Joy Kids over the years? I mean, I'm kind of new here, so I mean, that's kind of why I'm talking about it. But I would just say, more than likely, we'd never have a commissioning service like today with Patty and with Trey if there wouldn't have been someone who says, well, we have to do something for these kids that are in school, and we know that many of them do not go to church. Many of them do not have a church home. And if they did not have a church home, then they would hear nothing at all. But when they come here to Harbor of Joy on Wednesdays, they do get something. Even sometimes, adults wonder. You know, we scratch our heads and we go like, man, that was a waste of time. No, probably not. God has a way of working in and through us in ways we have no idea how he does it. So I just bring out, like, Gamaliel, he just says, hey, if God is in this, then let's see what God's going to do. Let him work in the hearts and lives of those who will be a part of it, and those who choose not to, let them be people that can be praying for those who do it, and to give towards it type of a thing. And so we find that it's kind of what is being taught here in our scripture lesson here today, in the message here with Gamaliel, and it came to with Peter and the rest of the apostles. Now just think, if if Caiaphas would have gotten his way at this time like he did with Jesus? What if he would have gotten his way of saying, okay, Peter, we're going to cut your head off, and the rest of the disciples, we know who you are, we're taking your heads off too. And that's it. I still believe that Christian faith would have continued to grow. Because the blood of the martyrs has always been what has produced all kinds of fruit in the Christian faith and the Christian church around the world, and it still does today. Where people, where Christianity is being persecuted, that's where the church is the strongest. That's where the church is growing. And you kind of go like, doesn't make sense. A lot of things that God does doesn't make sense. But God will do what he wants to do. And he's got the power to do it, and he will. If he's got people's hearts, who are not just persuaded about him, but whose hearts have been changed by him because of his son Jesus Christ. So that's all I'm going to say. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for people's hearts, that they've opened them up to you and have invited Jesus to take control of their lives. Lord, there is no sin that you cannot forgive. Even if a person says, God does not want me, the real answer is, oh yes, he does. God will take you just the way you are. And he will forgive you of your sin, and he will set you free in ways you never, ever dreamt would ever be possible. Lord, we thank you that whenever Joy Kids started, no one at that time knew that there would be someone like Trey Robinson, who one day would say, and he's wanted to do this for years, I want to go to Africa and to be a part of what Patty started, what she's doing over there with people that she has met and we have not. But we will meet them through them, what takes place this coming month. And so, Lord, once again, we see that your name is exalted. You receive all the praise and all the credit that's needed. And all we can say, Lord, is thank you. And maybe we sometimes have to say, Lord, forgive me for not really being a part of what you were doing here at Harbor of Joy. It's easy to not do anything. It's easy to come to church and to say, I've done something for God today. But that's not what you're after. You're after people's hearts. Once the heart has been changed, then our thinking is changed as well. And we do things that we would never do otherwise. And we just say to other people, it's all because of Jesus who's changed my life. And so, Lord, we praise you for who Jesus is. We thank you that he died for our sins. We thank you that he rose again. We thank you that he lives in every heart through your Holy Spirit. Is shown to us also in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, that we have the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us, those who believe and trust in him. So thank you for this morning, Lord. May you continue to work through the communion that we partake together here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. He said to his disciples who were there in the upper room, he said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat, and remember what I've done for you from this day forward." Of course, he's talking about his, he's going to be going to the cross, he's going to die for their sins. He says, "This is my body. Remember what you're doing." He then took the cup. And he had given thanks to the Father. He told his disciples this, that this is my blood. Drink and remember that I died for your sins. Whenever you drink it, know that I have forgiven you. If you're new here at Harbor of Joy, just want you to know that we have an open communion, which means you do not have to be a member of Harbor of Joy in order to partake of the elements, sacraments. But that it's open to you. Jesus invited who all loves him, whoever believes in him, to come and to receive from him. And so it's open to anyone to be dismissed by an usher. If you'd like to come up front and kneel or stand up there and just pray and spend your time with the Lord up there, and as long as you want, you're free to do that. If you want to just receive the elements, come by this table. If you want grape juice instead of wine, just hold your hand like this. And we do have gluten-free wafers, if there's someone here that needs to have gluten-free. They're the only ones that are in a plastic bag, a little plastic container. So just want you to know how we're thinking of you as well. If you come down here, you just receive it, and just go back and sit down where you are seated here today. So that's kind of how we do it here at Harbor of Joy. And so I'll ask those that are serving to come and to be a part of this service.
Thank you. crucified. Oh, let me turn this on.
Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Amen. Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the benediction. May the Lord Jesus Christ and the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.